to the main slide. And I know that I'm on a time crunch this morning because we got to vacate by 10:30. No, I'm just kidding. But God is in this house. I heard the story the other day about a man that went on vacation to the Holy Land with his wife and his mother-in-law. Well, halfway through their trip over in the Holy Land, the mother-in-law dies. So the guy goes to an undertaker who explains that they can ship the body home, but it would cost $5,000, or they can just bury her, his mother-in-law, there in the Holy Land for just $100. The son-in-law says, "Let's just ship her home." The undertaker said, "Are you sure? That's an awfully big expense. We can do a very nice burial here." The son-in-law said, "Look, 2,000 years ago, they buried a guy here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I can't take that chance." How many of you know he came up out of that grave? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you go to the next slide? All right, Acts chapter 1, and would you stand with me this morning? I want to speak to you. I've got my little gavel here this morning on objections overruled. We're going to talk about some Easter objections. And Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day that he was taken up. After that, he, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen." Next slide. And give me a thumbs up when you do that next slide, if you don't mind, so I'll know what I have to turn around. Thank you. "To these, he also presented himself alive." Notice that. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs. Somebody say convincing proofs. "Appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking to them of the things concerning the kingdom of God." Next slide. Now, Father, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for resurrection power. Let it flow right now through the word of God, not only for the rest of this service, but for the next service as well. We give you praise. And everybody said amen. Amen. And as you're being seated, I know this is Easter. Tell somebody you're looking pretty. Just this one time for me. Indulge one time. Just tell somebody you're looking pretty. All right. All right. Isn't Brother Roy Clark looking pretty too? Amen. All righty. Reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt. Have you ever been on trial? There's that threshold that the courts of law use to determine the fate of defendants. The term reasonable doubt doesn't exclude all doubt, but excludes any way that doubt could pose a problem. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I want to present to you the undeniable, irrefutable, and irresistible evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Jesus was dead, buried, and rose again on the third day. Indeed, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is everything to Christianity. I agree with Andy Stanley that the resurrection is everything. Theologian Gerald O'Collin said, in a profound sense, Christianity without the resurrection is not simply Christianity without its final chapter. It's not Christianity at all. Here's the deal. Are you sure when all the religions in the world, yours is the right way? Do you hear that? I mean, there's thousands. This one believes it. That one believes this. But we Christians, how dare you say you're the only ones? Let me tell you, I'm being backed up not by some teacher or some teachings. I'm backed up by an empty tomb. It proves that Christianity is the way, the truth, and the life. I have resurrection power. Somebody say amen this morning. If it is false, then Christianity is the greatest farce of history. But if it is true, then Christianity is the greatest force of history. When Confucius died, he was buried. When Lao Tzu, the father of Taoism, died, it was after he wandered off into the wilderness and he died next to his water buffalo. When Buddha died, it was a result of food poisoning. When Muhammad died in the year 632, Muhammad, exactly, Muslim, Mohammed, when he died, His body was cut up and spread all over the Near East. But the awesome truth of Christianity is that when Jesus died, he did not stay in a tomb. He came out on the third day, and we can believe this beyond a reasonable doubt. Come on and give him a hand this morning. Now, you got to watch lawyers now. I know there might be some lawyers in the service this morning. Might be some lawyers watching by TV. And I had a few lawyer jokes this morning, but I took them out just because I didn't want to offend any lawyers this morning. But you know how lawyers are in the court. You know, Tom Cruise, you know, and Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. You don't remember that story. I mean that movie. I mean, you know, the courtroom and all of that. And so a lawyer will say, hear something that he doesn't agree with, and he will yell this word. Objection. And then the judge will say one of two things. He'll say sustained, or he'll say overruled. And so I want to give you some objections, because I didn't go to theological seminary. I didn't go to Holmes Bible College. I went to East Carolina University, and I heard a lot of objections to the resurrection. Well, objection number one, next slide. Objection number one, I've heard people talk about the swoon theory. The swoon theory. What is that? This was espoused by a person named Venturini several hundred years ago. He said this. He said, Jesus didn't really die. He only fainted due to extreme weariness and loss of blood. It suggests that either Jesus Christ fainted on the cross, or perhaps he went into shock and went unconscious, but he didn't really die. He just kind of fainted or swooned. In other words, he wasn't resurrected. He was resuscitated. And it's true that Jesus was beaten mercilessly. He lost a huge amount of blood. But if you believe that Jesus just kind of fainted, then you also have to believe that he endured 6 hours of crucifixion. Nails in his hands and thorns on his head. A traumatic spear wound to his side. Some of you can't handle a pine cone prick, I mean, without dying. I mean, I know how you are, and you certainly miss church if you stump your toe. But let me tell you something. Oh, I love you. I love you. He endured the coldness of a tomb. He went without food or water, along with loss of blood. I have nurses here. This gentleman over here that played the piano is a head of nursing at one of our hospitals. He survived being wrapped in grave clothes. Now, let me tell you about the grave clothes. Now, we Westerners, we bury people in clothes, loose-fitting clothes. But those Easterners, they would wrap the dead body in grave clothes and use 100 pounds of spice between the folds. This would seal the clothes around the corpse, sort of like a mummy. The head would be wrapped, the mouth and nose would be filled with spices, the body would have been placed in an airtight tomb with no fresh air available. So you would have to believe, if he just fainted, that in his conditions, with all of the wounds and the loss of blood, and after all of that, and after they put the spices, that he unwrapped all of that just after 3 days of that torture, and he by himself rolled around a very huge stone, and you would have to believe that he eluded the 100 soldiers at his grave. Let me just tell you something this morning. He didn't just swoon. He died on a hill far away. He died, and he wasn't murdered, and he didn't commit suicide. He laid down his life. And when it comes to the swoon theory, objection overruled. I dreamt last night that I cracked this pulpit. Y'all pray. Second objection, next slide. Then there are those that said, well, he didn't rise from the dead. They just went to the wrong tomb. They went to, you know, he was over here, and they went and found a tomb that wasn't his, and of course it was empty. So if you believe that, then you also have to believe that when Mary went to the wrong tomb, that the disciples also went to the wrong tomb. And if you believe the wrong tomb theory, you also have to believe that the angels showed up at the wrong tomb. That the Jewish authorities sent the Roman soldiers to guard the tomb. And in fact, you'd have to believe that the Roman soldiers were sent, and they went to the wrong tomb. So if you believe it was the wrong tomb, there's a lot of things that are missing. Mary went to the wrong place. The disciples went to the wrong place. Even the professional Roman soldiers who get paid and upon their lives, they must make sure that they've got it right. And if all the women and the disciples and the guards were at the wrong tomb, and if let's just say they did go to the wrong tomb. Let's say they did. Let's say all of that happened. Well, then to prove that he was dead, all they had to do was go to the and say, oh, but he's over here. But guess what? They never went to the right tomb where he was because he was not there. When it comes to the wrong tomb, objection overruled. Well, there's another objection. Number three, the stolen body. Now, there are two parts of this story. The first part is, we can go to the next slide. The first part is that, let's go back to the wrong, stolen body. What's the next slide? Have we got the next slide? We don't have the next one. Yeah. So we're a little bit out of order. So part one is his friends stole the body. So here's the thought. Yeah, well, Jesus didn't really die from the dead. You know, Peter and James and John, they just snuck in at night and kind of stole his body. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something about Peter, James, and John. When he got arrested, they bailed, brother. They highballed it and left. And then further, you've got to believe that there's 100 soldiers with 3-inch daggers in their belt, professionally trained men who will die if they let that something happen to that tomb. You got to believe that they risked their life and they went and snuck in, risked their life, who just hours before were fleeing. Even Peter, think about Peter. The Bible says that Peter ran into a 12-year-old girl or a young girl, doesn't say 12-year-old, but a young girl. And this young girl said, you're the one, you're the one. And Peter folded. He's like, no, 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 not me, not me. So he was getting all scared at a little girl, let alone all these soldiers. So this idea that his friends went, listen, if you got friends like that, you don't have friends. Oh, but let me tell you something. The Bible says that all of those friends, if the friend stole his body, listen, it's one thing to get one crazy person to believe one crazy thing. And maybe you can get a few to do it. And maybe you can believe it. But it's another thing to get people to die for it. And every last apostle, every last eyewitness, they all went to their heart, and they didn't just die peacefully. They didn't do like Jim Jones and just drink Kool-Aid and go out easy. No, they died horrible deaths. They were cut in two and crucified. And every last one of them to their dying breath said this, the tomb was empty. Somebody shout hallelujah this morning. Matthew 28 and verse 11 says, and I don't know if I have this on the slide or not. Matthew 28:11 says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, listen to this, they gave large sums of money to the soldiers. Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole his body away. That's where that theory comes from. They were paid off. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported to the Jews this day. But see, think about that. The soldiers were paid to guard that tomb. And they were paid to lie and say his disciples stole the body away. Problem. You're in a court of law. Tom Cruise is there. Jack Nicholson is there. I'm telling you, this is a court martial. This is a Roman military tribunal here. And so we're trying to prove that the disciples came and stole the body away. So were you on your post, sir? All 100, 100, a centurion, was over 100. Were you at your post that night? Yes, sir. Did the disciples steal his body away? Yes, sir. So did you just sit there and let them take that body? No, sir. Well, what were you doing? I was sleeping, sir. Now, I don't know about Roman tribunals, but I do know about Wilson, because I've had a few crazy cousins to go to court, hallelujah, and I've been there to help bail them out. Come on now. But I can tell you this, if you get on a stand, and I love my crazy cousins, by the way, hallelujah, and I've almost been there myself, glory, but But let me just tell you, if you tell the judge you were sleeping, guess what? The objection is overruled. His friends didn't steal his body. They weren't brave enough. The Roman soldiers, their testimony couldn't survive in any court of law. My friend, his body was not stolen. He rolled that stone away himself, and he came alive beyond a reasonable doubt. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And then there's not that his friend stole his body. There's another objection. Let's go to the next slide. I think it's B. Some people say, okay, well, the reason the tomb was empty is because his foes stole the body. His enemies stole it. He didn't really rise from the dead. They were just trying to play a prank on his disciples and on what he said. Well, the only problem with that theory is this. If his foes stole the body, then when the disciples did say he was alive, the tomb is empty, guess what they had to, all they had to do is show the body that they stole. But friend, they never produced that body because they did not steal that body. Acts 2 and 24 said God has raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Objection overruled. Somebody say amen this morning. Then I got one more objection. Then I'm going to talk about your objections and then we'll close. And that was on one of those previous slides. Number four, the hallucination theory. Now, hallucination. We all know what hallucination is. I mean, I know. I went to East Carolina. I know those guys would hallucinate sometimes. By the way, if you graduate from ECU, you're fine. I just went to a different. Anyway, never mind. All right. Always afraid I'm going to offend somebody. I love East Carolina. I wear my ECU class rings. That make you feel better about it? All right. But the hallucination theory. So here's what they say. They say, and this is really what some people have said. They say, well, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. All his disciples just saw a hallucination. They thought, or they dreamt it. Or they, it came in their mind. They loved the Lord so much that they, and you know, there's times people have died and whom we love, and sometimes we may in our mind see them very real, almost to the point where we feel like it is real, and it's, some people will say it's a hallucination. And so they think that, perhaps the disciples, saw Jesus and they were just hallucinating. But the problem with that is that when you hallucinate, it's one thing for you to see a white lamb or a pink elephant. Okay, yeah. But it's another thing if two people see a white lamb and a pink elephant. I've heard of people hallucinating, but I've never heard of two people hallucinating the same thing. Let alone three people. Let alone, listen, the Bible says, look at 1 Corinthians. I believe I have it on one of these slides here. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3. For I delivered unto you first of all how that that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And listen to this. If you believe they hallucinated, look at how many people hallucinated. Cephas. Peter, that's another word for Peter. Then the 12 saw him. So you got 12 people hallucinating the same thing? Come on. Now go to the next slide. Verse 6. And after that, he was seen about how many people? 500, of whom the greater part remain to this day. And after that, he was seen of James, then the apostles. And after that, he was seen of me. Listen, you can't tell me it's impossible for 600 people to hallucinate the exact same thing. My friend, objection overruled. Somebody give him praise here today. Now look, either he rose from the dead, or he didn't. And if he didn't, he's the biggest liar that's ever lived. But if he did, he's the only Savior. He's not a liar. He is the Lord of glory. Worship him. Praise him. Fall on your knees to him. Well, I have my opinion. surrender your opinion. Well, I have this feeling. Well, bring your feeling. He is alive. He died. And may I remind you that before he rose from the dead, he was whipped and beaten and stripped in blood. And he was tortured. And he didn't have to go through that. But why did he go through that? Because of our sin. Yes, I know it offends you. I know you can't believe. I know you believe that you're perfect. You're just a good person. You're just misunderstood. I'm telling you, you may be a good person, and you probably have been misunderstood, but beyond all that, we have sinned, and we are in danger, and the judge of the earth will do right. He cannot let sin go by. Don't we have judges that we hold accountable? They can't let you off the hook, let my cousin off the hook. They've got to do everything by the law, and God must judge us by the law, but we're in a bad state. We're not just misunderstood. We're in danger. But Jesus stepped in and was whipped and stripped. And he took your sin. And he took your punishment. He died on the cross. And he didn't just die. He rose again to prove, I am Lord. I am the Savior. Come to me. Don't let anything keep you from the greatest truth of all the earth. Forsake friends if you have to. Forsake love if you have to. All of that will pale in comparison. Forsake relationships if you have to. Forsake even family if you have to. Yes, because eventually when you come to know the love of God, he'll give you your family back. Glory to God. Go all the way because he went all the way with you. Objections overruled. The Guinness Book of World Records says that the most successful attorney in history is a man named Sir Leonard Lucky, L-U-C-K-H-O-O. He succeeded in getting 245 convicted murder acquittals in his legal career. Nobody has ever come close to that. This man was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth. He took his expertise in law. He went through the question of whether or not the resurrection of Jesus Christ would stand up in a legal court of today. This is what he concluded. He said, quote, I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. Somebody say beyond a reasonable doubt. Shout it. Beyond a reasonable doubt. Objection. Now, last slide here. What are your objections? I've given you proof that the other religions, there might be some good things in other religions. There may be good people. But those are not the religions that will pay the price that needs to be paid. So what's your objections? He is the way. Some of you say, well, I've got plenty of time. Some people are like, well, I'm convinced. I know he's the Lord. I know he rose from the dead. But preacher, I got plenty of time. Amelia Lynch was walking down the streets of New York City when a flower pot fell off a ledge in an upper story building of the 8th floor, after being struck by a freak lightning. It hit her head and she died instantaneously. Harold Lee Duncan was mowing his grass. This is why I do not mow grass anymore. His children and his wife were watching him, and suddenly he grabbed his side and fell to the earth and was dead. His mower had picked up a half-inch piece of wire, no bigger than a pencil lead, and it flung around and went straight into his heart and killed him instantly. In the Philippines, this is why I don't fish, Brother Tom. In the Philippines, Carlos Umbos was fishing, and he opened his mouth to yawn like some of you are right now. When he opened his mouth to yawn, a fish jumped into his mouth, got lodged into his throat, and he suffocated to death. You say you've got plenty of time? My friend, you don't know what this afternoon holds. You don't know what's coming around the next corner. All you have is now. And the door is open, and the tomb is empty, so your heart doesn't have to be. If you think you've got plenty of time, objection overruled. Well, Some of you think, well, I'm not bad enough. Again, going back to, I'm just misunderstood. You say I'm a good person. You say that I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not Adolf Hitler. I'm not Osama bin Laden. I'm a good moral person. But may I say to you this morning that the worst form of badness can be your own prideful human goodness. Just one sin. Have you ever committed, don't raise your hand. Have you ever committed one sin? We've committed so many that we must say, oh God, I need you. And so if you think you're not so bad, well, I say it like this. You're not too bad that you can't be saved. I don't care how far you've gone. But neither are you so good that you don't need to be saved. So, objection overruled. Well, here's another objection. I'm coming to a close. Brother Clark, if you'll get ready. And it's 10:18. Timing is good. Amen. Here's another objection I hear. Well, there are too many hypocrites in the church. I don't go to church because I know those Christians. All they do is they vote a certain way and they do this and they do. And mind you, some of us Christians, we do carry ourselves with a little bit of arrogance. And we need to have a little more humility and be a little more sensitive to other people's feelings. I got it. I said that. Amen. I work at a secular job. And I work with people who do not go to church. And I work with people who have different ideas and different thoughts. And if I walked in there every day and told them how bad they were, I wouldn't get 3 inches with them. But what I'm going to do is show the love of God. And what I'm going to do is when they have a need, I'm going to say there's prayer. And there's power in prayer. And God can cause me to be a witness. Somebody shout amen. But I'm not going to get saved. There's too many hypocrites, too many Jimmy Swaggerts, too many Jim Bakers, too many televangelists. All they want is your money. Have I hit anything out there today? These big churches with all these big cathedrals. Why don't they give that money to the poor? You know what you're doing? You're an objecting. Well, let me put it to you like this. Have you ever been to McDonald's? Raise your hand. Do you know hypocrites go to McDonald's? But does that stop you from getting a quarter pounder all cheese beef patty with onion special sauce? Come on now. Sister Jenkins, let's go get a Big Mac. We've lost some weight. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's celebrate. Then we can get back with it. Hallelujah. I saw that post on Facebook. That's why I said that. Congratulations. Amen. Well, what about the racetrack? What about the golf course? What about the bowling alley? Hey, what about work? You go to work. But you'll be there. If you don't have spring break, you'll be there next week. Now I know there's hypocrites there where you work at. They're there, but you don't stop. So why not come to church? Don't tell me. If they're everywhere, then listen. Come on and come to church. Come on and give your heart to the Lord. Don't look to hypocrites. Don't look to the televangelist. Look to the one who rolled that stone away and died for your sins. Objection. Overruled. Somebody shout hallelujah. People say, well, I can't live the Christian life. That's an objection. Yeah, I need to be saved. But, you know, I'm really addicted to alcohol. Well, I need to be saved. But, you know, I'm really struggling with drugs. Yeah, I know the Lord raised from the dead. And you know what? I try to diet, and every time I messed up, I know I can't be a Christian. Did you not hear these two testimonies this morning? Milton and Samantha. There's another, Hope Anthony. She'll probably be here the second service. There's others who've come. And I'll tell you something else. This man here, Skyler, who was standing in the choir, had a major stroke. Let me tell you something. It's not what you can do anyway. When you come to the empty tomb and you say, I surrender all, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness, He will change you and He will live through you. That's the whole point of the cantata. I have resurrection power. Living where? On the inside. Freedom. You have given me freedom. I forgot the words, freedom. My chains are gone. Somebody give him praise that your chains are gone. Hallelujah. I'm going to hit this thing 2 more times. Pray it. Don't crack this pulpit. Objection. And then finally, How could he forgive my sins? You don't know what I did when I was a teenager. I really messed up bad. My answer to that objection, after the cross, after the thorns on his head, after the drinking of the vinegar, after the terrible crucifixion, after the empty tomb, how could he not forgive you? That's exactly what he went through it for. To forgive us. To come into our life. He is our creator. And he knows best for us. My father would sometime look at me and say, "Son, you cannot ride that big wheel in the street." And I was only 5 years of age. But I wanted to ride that big wheel in that street. Now, some of you that are 40 and younger, you don't know what a big wheel is. A big wheelie. But it was awesome. And it didn't have anything electrical. And I'll tell you, on 433 Arrington Avenue, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, where I was a little boy, daddy won't looking. And I went out into that street. And I just wheeled that thing around and wheeled that thing around. I looked up and he wasn't there. I was having the time of my life. Until I looked back and I saw him at the door. Now my sister's 10 years younger than me. She never got a whipping the first day of her life. But I got the whippings for her. Let me tell you something. Your father made you perfectly. Well, I don't like myself, and I'm look this way. He made you, and really, when you allow him to come into your heart, your whole life will be changed. Don't object any longer. Don't wait another moment. Would you bow your heads this morning as Brother Clark plays today? And Father, we thank you. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you, Lord, that the tomb is empty. And I am asking you, Lord, to touch the hearts of the dear people here. Lord, no objections. Not what we see on TV, not what we hear, but what we feel right now is the sweet love of God. Now, as your head is bowed and as your eyes are closed, what I'm offering you today is worth everything. Eternity with God. Peace that passes all understanding. But here's the deal. You got to be willing to forsake yourself. Maybe even your friends. Even maybe your family. But if you'll do it, you'll be so glad you did. You'll gain such a peace. Your sins will be forgiven. And that resurrection power that changed Samantha Hahn's life will change your life. Jesus is asking you, will you forsake all? For I forsook all for you. Will you forsake all for me? No more objections. Come to Jesus today. Would you stand with me right now? Gone. The tomb is empty.
Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. The stone was moved. The Lord had gone away.
I want you just to praise him for a moment. We're going to pray.
The angel said, "Fear not, I know."
Objections overruled. He's gone. He's gone.
But he has risen. This she heard him say.
Objections overruled. Gone.
Gone. The stone is rolled back. Gone. The tomb is empty. Gone. To sit at the Father's side.
I want everyone to step out of your seat and let's close in prayer just for a few moments and then we'll conclude our service. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, come along with us as well. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to point you out. But you can have the resurrected Christ in your heart. So everyone, step to the side, come down, and then we'll close here at the altar. Come on. Pump it up. Let's roll.
The tomb is empty. Yes. Gone, to sit at his Father's side.
Sit at his Father's side. Come on up. Come on, everybody.
Over death's triumph.